Are you guys ready to start this MFing show?
Yeah, let's roll.
Some mother loving.
All right. Our clean show with no swearing. At least that's how it's been since Lander's been gone.
Yeah. Lander's going to be like, welcome to the f***ing Cupcast.
I'm going to have to turn the explicit tag back on. Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. My name is Arifon Elijah. I'm back with my friends and Apple experts. Leander Kinney's back. Hey Leander.
Hey, Arifon.
And Alex Heath, he's back as well. Alex, welcome back to the show.
What's that?
This is becoming a bad habit.
You're into it again.
No. We did a show, I think it was the one before last show, and Alex literally paused for like 30 seconds before he said anything, and we thought he'd actually been disconnected.
Yeah. So that hilarious joke is back again.
He likes to make a late entrance.
Awesome. But well, love it.
Yeah, right. I was like, I think we lost him, Buster. I think we lost him. Then finally,
long pregnant
he piped
pauses.
In.
Sounds like somebody else's podcast whose name we won't mention.
Hey now. Let's start the show, shall we? We got a ton of stuff to go through today, and actually, I love it when this happens. I put together the show agenda, and then there's a bunch of new stuff that happens the day of the show, like hours before we begin, of course. So let's kind of cruise through some of these news items. First on my list, which I thought was interesting, Microsoft has announced they have a new logo. And Leander, I know that you said you couldn't even tell what the difference is between the old logo and the new logo.
Yeah.
But here's how I would describe it. The old logo, if it was on their Microsoft store, would definitely discern them from being an Apple store. And now you go to the Apple store, you look across the street, and there's the Microsoft store, and you see their logo, and one could definitely confuse the two stores if you weren't a pretty big fan of Apple.
What?
I described it on Twitter. It looks like their new logo is very Apple inspired, I think. It looks like if Bing and the Apple logo had a love child, that's pretty much exactly what it looks like. It's much more rounded. It almost kind of looks Helvetica-ish to me. Alex, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with the whole getting it confused with the Apple logo, though.
Yeah, no,
It's like multicolored. I mean, are you colorblind? Because I'm colorblind, then yeah.
Well, yeah, I only see in shades of gray. But I'm not talking about that window like that they updated the look at. I'm specifically referring to the font, you know, like that font they're using now. I think it looks a lot like Apple. And it's on a white background, just like Apple's is, which, of course, a lot of people use. But still, you guys don't think it looks like Apple's logo?
No, you're going to be like not only colorblind, but also, you know, shape blind and completely dyslexic.
I must be shape blind. I didn't even know that was a condition. Thank you, Dr. Leander.
That's a new one. It's a new aphasia. Yeah.
In other news, we got a new Facebook app today. Leander, I'm sure you don't care because I doubt you ever use the Facebook app.
I hate Facebook with
and I know.
It's great. It's a great update, though.
It is, isn't it? So, Alex, you've used it. Tell me what you think about it.
Yeah, it was so good. I was actually away from the computer when it came out, but somebody mentioned it. I got a mention and hit the app store up, and it was right there and installed really fast. And it's great. It's like it's not HTML5 anymore. It's native for iOS. So I guess the headlines could have been Facebook finally makes an app that's actually for the iPhone, because that's basically what it is now. It's actually been finally like made, you know, with the iOS SDK. Mm-hmm. Which is nice. They're a little behind, but it's good to have now. So, and I like some of the other improvements too. Just like some of the text that they changed and the new photo viewer, I like a lot. But yeah, it's a great update.
Damn it! You know what I just realized?
Well,
I forgot to mention our sponsor, so let me do that real fast. I always forget this. I want to thank DigiDNA, makers of Discade 5, the iPhone, iPad, and iPod transfer tool for PC and Mac, for sponsoring the show. They've been a sponsor for a while now, and I want to thank them for their support. We're going to talk a little bit about them later in the show, and a new feature that I just learned about that's actually super cool that their software does. So we'll talk about them a little bit later. Leander, you were mid-syllable when I interrupted you. What were you about to say?
I have completely forgotten.
Okay, well then let me talk.
Okay, yeah, please go ahead.
Because I wanted to say a few things about the Facebook app. It's fantastic. If you haven't updated, you absolutely should. Everything that Alex says is absolutely true. It's a lot faster. You know, they redesigned some of it too. So it reminds me of the Instagram update. It feels and looks like Instagram to me a little bit. And it's much, much faster. And oh my gosh, it's just surprising. A company with as much money as Facebook has, and with an app that is as popular as the Facebook app is, has taken this long to put out an app that's actually good. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta... Good things come to those who wait, I guess, right?
Okay.
I don't know. Facebook has got a lot of... I mean, they just went public and all that stuff, so they've got a lot of stuff going on. But yeah, it's... I mean, if we're going to talk about big, giant social networks with a lot of money not updating apps, I mean, Twitter for Mac is needing more attention than even Facebook's apps did. So I think there's worse offenders out there. But yeah, Facebook definitely was way behind.
Yeah, they were. So get the new update. It's great. Let's talk about Apple updates. Apple just released OS X 10.8.1. I actually haven't downloaded yet, but it's just basically a bunch of bug fixes, right, Alex?
Yeah, pretty much. It fixes some stuff with like Thunderbolt and iMessage, some iMessages not sending. And it's only like a 7 meg download. Like, it took me less than probably 3 minutes to install and restart and have up and running. It was really fast and slick. So, wow. Yeah, get it now.
I saw that the full update was only 24 megs. I think this is probably the smallest update I've ever seen from Apple. Yeah. So grab that. And let's talk a little bit about AT&T, because they've been in the news too. And
If they did such a small update, why such a small update? Is it a critical? Is there something in there that?
This is how it always goes, right? You have like a 0.0 release of a new version of OS X, so like, you know, 8, you know, whatever it was, Mountain Lion, you know, 0.0, and then you have like several, you know, 0.1, 0.2, 0.3 onto that are just
tiny. Usually 180 megabytes or.
Yeah, well, hopefully this is a sign of all of the updates are going to be really streamlined like this in the future.
I don't know. I mean, that would be great, but most updates are like 500, 600, 700 megs, and then the combo updates are like, you know, 1.2 gigs.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, this one was really small, so if they keep going, you know, this
could
be a sign.
But I'm suspicious. This is new. This is, you know, something new and weird and strange from Apple. And it makes me wonder whether Tim Cook has really got his hands on the controls.
Oh my gosh, it's falling apart. Steve Jobs left. The company is going to hell.
They need to hire Samsung's Stefan Jobs. Do you guys see that video?
Yeah.
No, I need to make that into a T-shirt.
The Conan O'Brien video.
Oh, so great. let's talk a little bit about AT&T, because this boils my blood. So AT&T has basically come out and said, as we were all expecting them to do, FaceTime over 3G is going to be a big feature for iOS 6 once you install it. But AT&T has come out and said, hey, you know what? We're going to let you use FaceTime over 3G all you want, but you have to upgrade to one of our family share plans. And their logic is that this makes more data available to you. But of course, I was reading a Wired article today, and the author was describing what they're actually expecting you to do. And the author's name is Derek Turner, by the way. And you have to upgrade. Let's say you were using a $70 plan that gave you 3 gigabytes of data. You have to update to AT&T's family share plan to use FaceTime over 3G. Otherwise, they don't allow it. And that plan only gives you 1 gigabyte. That's it.
When are you going to get to the point, Alfon?
Well, my point is that AT&T is trying to bend us over yet again.
About AT&T again. Don't we do this every week?
No, I'd say every other week. But I think people need to be pissed off about this. I really do, because AT&T is slowly trying to dismantle net neutrality. I mean, Apple's giving you all these great features on your phone, and AT&T is now saying, oh, you want to use this feature? You have to pay out your A to use these basic features that are included on your phone, especially when it makes no sense. I mean, they're making you buy a plan that includes less data. This doesn't make you guys mad? Alex? You're a pretty aggressive person.
I am aggressive, you know. Yeah. I fight.
Where's
the
outrage, Alex? Come on, this is a legitimate rape situation. A congressman has called it a legitimate rape.
No, but I mean,
to make you pregnant over FaceTime.
No, but I hear what Irfan's saying, and you know, I wrote that huge thing on iPhone discrimination with the carriers last week about how carriers are screwing iPhones and not screwing, well, screwing people that want to buy iPhones, and because of the subsidies and because of the data and because of Apple, you know, how Apple is just really a pain for the carriers. And yeah, this is just, I mean, yeah, I'm in the fence. I'm like kind of with Leander's camp, because it's like, really? I mean, did anybody not see this coming? And then also,
well,
it's not
going to be FaceTimed anyway. I mean,
oh, I FaceTime. I mean,
I do too. But that's not even the point, Leander. I mean, that's not the point. Like, that's like saying AT&T can take away iMessage because most people don't use it. It's like, no. Like, we've paid for these features, right?
I mean, legally, AT&T has the right to do this because FaceTime is a pre-installed app on the phone. If FaceTime, all, you know how Apple could fix this? If Apple made it to where Facebook FaceTime wasn't baked into iOS and it was another download, then AT&T couldn't block it. So it's literally, it comes down to that. So they have the right to do this legally. And, I mean, it's just, it doesn't surprise me because the new mobile share plans are data heavy, even though they give you very little, and they just throw in unlimited text and voice for free because carriers know that nobody's talking and texting anymore. They're using iMessage and they're using data. So they're trying to capitalize that, you know, it's the same thing as when the content providers, you know, have started trying to latch onto the online viewing, to try to get a piece of that, because they're trying to maintain their money and their business model as things are moving along. And I mean, they're just not doing it well, and it's, but yeah, I don't think this is a huge deal for me personally. It's not a huge deal because honestly, I'm just gonna have a jailbroken iPhone like I have now and be able to FaceTime over 3G like I have.
Any chance you get you get to bring up the fact that you jailbreak? Yes.
I'm serious. I mean, I've FaceTime over 3G already and I've been doing it forever, so
One last point about this. I could argue about this for an hour, which I'm sure everyone would find as interesting as I do. But to your point about AT&T's preloaded argument, so just to kind of elaborate a little bit more on that, AT&T has come out and defended themselves and saying, we're not breaking any rules. The FCC says, you know, if an app comes, you know, as part of the basic functionality of your phone, then we're not obliged to include, you know, or we're not obliged to let that app do whatever it wants to do, use data or whatever. They can't block it, you know. But this article that Derek wrote for Wired, I'm forgetting his last name at the moment, but I'm going to bring that up right here. Derek Turner, thank you. He says AT&T's preloaded defense is bullcrap. Nowhere in the rules does it, and that's my words, not his, but now I'm quoting him. Nowhere in the rules will you find a mention of the term preloaded. And nor will you find it in the rest of the FCC's nearly 200-page official order that accompanied and explained the agency's rationale for adopting net neutrality rules. So AT&T's argument, according to Derek Turner, I mean, is totally irrelevant. Like, it doesn't matter if the app comes with the phone or you install it later. Like, the FCC never mentions anything about preloaded apps. So take that, Alex. And I don't know why you're always I don't know why you're always defending AT&T.
I'm not defending
you. Obviously,
AT&T.
Are one of their minions.
I'm not. I just tore apart AT&T.
No, you're also getting paid by AT&T, Alex. Crikey.
I'm
you
not.
Disclosed that
I'm
at the
not.
Beginning of the show. I mean, AT&T shill.
We probably should have mentioned that Alex is on the board of AT&T.
I mean,
and in line for the CEO job.
They give great travel packages, but they're not. I mean, it's no.
Okay, well, let's move on to this one last news item because I think this is really cool. And I'm sure you guys will agree. Apple is now the most valuable company, public company of all time. I'm sure you guys have probably heard about this. All the news outlets are talking about it. So I think their stock closed recently at $668. Are you guys?
I think I just went past.
Oh my gosh. Are you guys? Well, here's another actually interesting factoid. The iPhone makes more money than every Microsoft product put together. And here's something that MG Siegler wrote for TechCrunch. He said, Apple is now worth one Google more than Exxon, which was the previous largest most valuable company. One Google more. I think it helps to put these things in those kinds of terms, because when you're talking about Apple's value, it's kind of like talking about space. You know, it's like you're like the sun is 100 million miles away or whatever, and it doesn't really make any sense until you put it in some type of, you know, like constructs you can actually like gauge its size. I mean, Apple's
massive. Are you saying Apple is worth more than space?
I'm saying Apple's worth more than the sun for sure.
And all the planets. Okay.
And all the planets, especially Mercury. That planet sucks.
I mean, easily the Milky Way.
Yeah, but, it's so gigantically huge. I mean, they're $100 billion bigger, right, than Exxon?
Something like that, yeah.
Or maybe more now. I didn't see the latest one, but it's just a ginormous sum of money.
What I'm interested in is that rumor. I don't know if you guys, it didn't really get a lot of circulation, but that they're going to move to, this is getting kind of geeky, but that they're going to move to the Dow and then split the stock so that investors, you know, investors who aren't looking to pay 600 something per share would be able to buy in at a cheaper price. And Apple would become less of this incredible giant that outweighs everyone else, where it would become more of near the same playing field. I think that's interesting. I hope we see that soon, because somebody that wants to own Apple stock but doesn't necessarily want to pay that much money, can't see them going much higher than that, would probably be incentivized to maybe buy some more if it just dropped a little bit, if they, you know, split the stock.
I heard that same rumor. It would be interesting to see if that happens. Let me put this stock. Let me put Apple's stock run in a little bit more perspective. Personal story. So in 2008, everything was crashing, right? The markets were crashing. And at that time, I had borrowed some money from some family members to buy a house, and I decided that I wasn't going to buy it because everything started crashing, right? So I was like, you know, now it might be a good time to buy some Apple stock. And I had about $24,000 I could have used. And Apple stock at that time was about $74. And I did the math, and I was like, with that amount of money that I had, I could have bought 337 shares of Apple stock. And if I had done that, I didn't. If I had done that at the time and hung on to them till now, that $24,000 that I had spent would now be worth, 5 years later, $225,000.
Crikey, you could buy the whole house.
Yeah, I could have bought the house in cash. And still had enough for stripper poles.
Yeah.
That's a lot of perf on the stripper poles.
But that's a risky proposition, though, isn't it? I mean, your mom and dad ain't going to be too happy if you sink $24,000 into...
Mom, Dad, I know you gave me that money to buy a house, but I bought stock that's been crashing for a whole year.
Right.
But, you know, it was so low at that point, and it was just bouncing, you know, off this low point that I was like, man, you know... I just can't see it getting any lower, but of course that's what everyone always says before, you know, it goes down to nothing.
Yeah.
But I have owned Apple stock before. I don't own any now, just full disclosure for the full Monty. But I wish I did.
Leander owns a ton.
Yeah. Oh, I've got hundreds of thousands of dollars worth, yeah.
Yeah, what is that, 10 shares?
Doing this podcast.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy. Well, hey, I want to move on, but before we do that, let me tell you guys a little bit about Disc Aid 5. Now, Leander, you actually haven't done the show with us for a while, so you probably missed most of our Disc Aid spiels that I've given. This is really cool software, and what Disc Aid 5 allows you to do is you can install it on any PC, any Mac, and then you can access your iPhone's like file system just like you would on any computer, you know, because normally it's totally locked down. And I was talking with the Disc Aid 5 guys, and they were telling me about a feature that I didn't actually know about, but it's really cool, and I want to tell you guys about it. They have a music recovery feature. So basically, the software pretty much turns your iPhone, your iPad into a full backup of your entire iTunes library. So you have all your music, your playlists and everything, your ratings on your iPod or your iPhone, and let's say your Mac gets stolen. You know, you get a new Mac, a lot of people think they're going to be able to just download that music from iTunes, which actually now you can do, but you have to do it on a song or album basis. So you have to go through and literally re-download all that stuff manually, and it takes forever. Well, with Disc Aid 5, you can just plug in your iPod or your iPad or whatever you got, and you click one button. And it will copy your entire iTunes library back to your computer with your ratings, all your music, your movies, your TV shows, your podcasts, your iTunes U stuff, your audiobooks, the way you had them all organized, you all your metadata, everything, and dump it right back into your iTunes library, which of course is a lifesaver if your Mac gets stolen, or let's say you want to put your entire iTunes library on another computer. Like let's say you have a PC at work that you use and you want to have all your music there. You can do that as well because Discade 5 works on PC and Mac. Super, super useful feature. And that's on top of all the other features you get with Discade 5. It lets you copy voicemails. You can bring down your call logs. I mean, anything. It lets you use your iPod as a USB key. Now, Discade 5, you could try for free. Some of the features are free, and you can just use them, you know, as you want. There are some pro features like the iTunes library copying that I mentioned. And you can get Discade 5 for $25 if you want to buy it. But if you use the code THECULTCAST, you save 30% off. And it makes the software only $17.50. So check it out. Head over to digidna.net. It's digidna.net. Click on the Discade 5 icon and give it a try. And also, we're going to be giving away two free licenses. If you're interested in winning one of those, head over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecultcast, and leave us a funny comment, maybe a picture or two. Let us know that you want the software, and I'll be picking two winners on Monday for a free license. Thank you, DigiDNA, for sponsoring the show. Give them a try, guys. Boy, you guys are quiet during that ad.
Sounds pretty cool. I'm going to have to check it out.
Well, hey, let me know. I can get you 30% off.
Okay.
In fact, for us, they might even throw in a free license for you, Leander.
I was going to snag one of the free licenses. I'm going to put up a picture.
I'm like one of the winners on the Facebook page is Leander Caney. I'm sure no one would be pissed about that. Leander, let's talk about Tim Cook's first year in office, if you will. You were really excited about this. Tim Cook just finished his first year at Apple. It's hard to believe that it's already been a year, actually. And yeah, you just did an interview with, you said Mercury News, right?
Right. Yeah.
About this very thing, and you put together a timeline for us.
Yeah, and we have a package of features as well on cultofmac.com. We have a look back. We have a picture gallery of what they've been up to, and I've been working on this really comprehensive timeline of what Apple has been up to this last year under Cook's tenure. And you know, it's been quite a patch year, and I thought it was pretty interesting when you do something like that, when you look at all the different, you know, when I looked at what he'd been talking about and what he'd been up to, you know, the one thing that stood out was the issue about China, the Chinese factories, and the labor disputes there, and his attempts to reform the you know, their supply, the conditions in the factories. And it's the one thing that he's consistently spoken up about. You know, he's brought it up several times. Of course, you know, it's been in the news a lot, but you know, he really has engaged in it. And of course, there was the news this week that Foxconn is changing a lot of the work practices, the overtime, the amount of overtime that people can work, workers can work, and
That it's getting better, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the Fair Labor Association, you know, gave it pretty good marks and said that they'd actually had done a lot. And if you look back at, you know, about a year ago, I mean, they were getting really poor marks. And of course, there was a suicide earlier this year, mm-hmm, with the Foxconn worker. There was a riot in one of the factories. About 1,000 workers rioted in one of the suppliers' factories. And you know, the news over the years gotten better and better. You know, they first of all engaged the FLA, which was a big deal in the first place, as the first tech manufacturer to join that organization. And their first report was came out a couple of months after they'd been hired, and they said that, you know, that there's a lot of work to do, there's a long way to go, there are a lot of abuses here, and that was about 9 months ago. And you know, and in the meantime, you know, their latest report was quite encouraging. Of course, it wasn't completely all good news. You know, they said that Foxconn had done a lot to change conditions in the factories, but there were still all of Apple's hundreds of other suppliers, and there were some pretty grim report. China Labor Watch said, you know, nothing had changed at all at some of the other suppliers further down the line. But I found it really pretty encouraging, you know, and Tim Cook obviously cares about this. You know, he's also the guy that set this up in the first place, who was the sort of primary architect of Apple's move to China and setting up the Chinese supply chain. And he obviously took a lot of this personally. If you saw his reaction to when the New York Times did a report about a year ago about the conditions in the factories, you know,
yeah.
He said he was outraged and mm-hmm. deeply upset about it. And you could tell that he took umbrage on a personal level. He spoke up about this at the Wall Street. His first big public talk was at the Wall Street Journal's All Things D conference.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he talked about it quite a bit there. And of course, then he went and visited China. And, you know, that was the one thing I noticed during this timeline was that how many times he talked about it and had sort of pledged to do stuff. And it looks like it's actually been effective. So I found, and of course, this is something that I don't think that Steve Jobs would have engaged in at quite the same level.
Oh, me either. Yeah, he would have. Yeah. I mean, I think he probably would have addressed it, but it would have been in a keynote and that would have been the end of it.
Yeah.
Do you think this is going to be kind of Tim Cook's legacy? I mean, he'll probably be the CEO for a while, you know, barring any illnesses or anything like that, of course. But I mean, I had actually kind of forgotten about a lot of this China stuff, even though we talked a ton about it. Do you kind of think that's how, you know, Tim Cook will be remembered? I mean, obviously he's a brilliant operations guy, but, you know, kind of is like that kind-hearted CEO who actually, you know, cared about the people making the Apple products.
Well, I think it was, you know, I actually think there's a business bottom line issue here that their public image was getting really battered by this, and it was becoming the sort of dominant story about Apple. I mean, people talk about the new products, of course, but I mean, most of the press it's been getting this last year has been about the conditions for workers in its factories. I mean, the products get reviewed, of course, spectacular. You know, they're always a success, but that was definitely the main theme, I think, especially in the sort of, you know, the serious newspapers like the New York Times. They did a big story about the retail staff, you know, how they were short on money but long on loyalty.
Well, yeah,
and then about Apple dodging its taxes. You remember that one? I mean, there was been one hit.
Yeah, the whole iEconomy series in general seemed like quite a hit, you know, series of hit pieces. You know, it just kind of, I don't know what the Times goal was with that, because a lot of it seemed kind of like a stretch, but yeah, definitely a lot of negative press.
I think you look at any, you know, like the big companies in this country used to be, you know, like GM, the Ford, the auto manufacturers, you know, and the stuff that they would get up to would be, you know, they set the agenda. They set the agenda for companies, for industries. And so what they're up to is legitimate news, you know. So I think it's definitely fair enough to take a look at Apple and say, you know, and to examine the company in detail. And I think they're doing, you know, this is what journalists should do. They're doing everyone service,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, but I totally agree. I'm just saying, are you putting Apple under the same amount of scrutiny that you would put, say, another tech company? Or are you doing it because it's Apple and because putting Apple in the headline is a page view machine and all this stuff?
Well, yeah, but it's also the biggest. Well, that's true. That's very definitely true. It is. It does generate page views, but it's also the world's biggest company. And it's at the forefront of, you know, what is probably one of the most successful industries in America, technology, right? So. I don't think they're doing it just to get page views. You know, I mean, it's not as a simple a calculation as that. But anyway, you know, it's a separate matter. I mean, back to Tim Cook. You know, the other thing, of course, is that he hasn't screwed it up, which I think that's actually, you know, a lot easier to do than it looks.
Oh, I totally agree. And actually, that's kind of one of the things I was going to bring up too, because, you know, stepping into Steve Jobs' role, I mean, my gosh, talk about pressure, right? I mean,
yeah.
With what Steve Jobs was able to do with Apple. And Tim Cook has done something that I think is almost kind of like a magic trick. Like, he stepped in and he seems to be making Apple his own company. And in the same, and he's also, you know, having Apple do better and better and better. Yeah. And that seems to be something that, if you look at it from the outside, you may take it for granted that just happened, but I don't think it happened without a lot of intention and a lot of focus. And the fact that he has been able to run Apple his own way and keep Apple's success, I just think is really, really spectacular. He's obviously a brilliant guy. I mean, he seems kind of soft-spoken. He's not as He doesn't have as much like charisma, and he's not into the bravado as much as Steve Jobs. I don't think he's the guy pulling the blanket or pulling the cloak off the new product unveilings, you know, like Steve Jobs did. Like he was like a magic guy.
Yeah.
But he kind of has that quiet charisma, if you will.
Well, quiet authority, I think.
Quiet authority. That's great. Yeah, that's better.
You know, the interesting thing about when Jobs came back, of course, the company was in such deep trouble and Jobs cut it back to the bone and rebuilt it. You know, it wasn't until around when the iPhone came out, in fact. I mean, you know, like, of course, the iPod was a huge success, and that was really what changed the company and turned them into this massive consumer electronics giant rather than sort of a niche computer maker. But people, you know, dismissed the iPod, even though it was a massive success. It's like, you know, they got lucky. Apple got lucky. It was a one-off thing. They can't replicate it. But then along came the iPhone. And, you know, Steve Jobs went from being this kind of pariah in the business press to being, you know, the world's greatest CEO. And, of course, he sort of died at the height of his powers. But the thing that people don't really acknowledge, I think, is that Cook was as much, you know, the architect of Apple's – well, I think he was very much a co-partner. And that, you know, Apple wouldn't have been as successful as it is without building this massive machine that could deliver millions of products worldwide.
In secrecy.
Often in secret, right, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it was sort of, it was building the machine behind it, you know, behind the curtain. I think it's so important to Apple's success. I mean, if they'd stumbled in manufacturing, and which they often did, you know, whenever they introduced a new product, they could never make enough. So, you know, they definitely were building and learning as they went. But I think, you know, like everyone attributes all of this to Jobs, but of course it's a team. It's a team thing. And Cook was responsible for building the machinery of Apple. You know, Jobs often gets credit for the design. People say, well, you know, can Cook design products? Will he be able to come up with these same sort of transformative products that create whole new categories for Apple to get into? And, you know, I think Johnny Ive, he was also behind the scenes, behind, you know, no one really heard very much. You know, he wasn't so much given probably as much credit as he deserves for a lot of the breakthrough products. And, of course, he's still there.
Which exactly, I think is, yeah.
And that's to Cook's credit, too. You know, he's sort of kept the team in place. There have been a couple of people who have left. Bob Mansfield resigned, but apparently his replacement is just as good as he was. You know, the company hasn't changed in any significant ways. The core team is still there. And they continue to, you know, to do what they do so well. Of course, you know, everyone misses Jobs and his singular charisma. But, you know, there's no signs at all that anything is going wrong there. And in fact, I talked to a few, you know, some people I know at Apple, and they were saying that they were initially worried about when Jobs died. You know, of course, they were worried. There was a lot of uncertainty, and they were worried about how the company was going to do without him.
Right.
And in this last year, they're not worried at all. You know, the message now is that things are going great. We're doing better than ever. You know, Cook's at large and in charge. He's seen around campus. He eats with people at lunchtime. He's accessible. He's open. You know, everything seems to be going just great.
I really liked Tim Cook. He just seemed like a nice guy. He seems like a guy that would, you know, hold the door open for you when you were behind him at a coffee shop, so right, shutting it in your face like Steve Jobs.
Well,
let me wrap up with this because we need to move on. But a lot of people, when we talk about Tim Cook, talk about secrecy. And one of the things that he talked about at All Things D was, we're going to double down on secrecy. That's my best Southern accent. I should have had you do it, Alex. And, you know, we've seen all these product leaks recently, especially in regards to the iPhone 5. In fact, specifically in regards to the iPhone 5. Like, we pretty much know exactly what it's going to look like. We've seen all these parts leak. The one thing we haven't seen, though, is the iPad mini, which looks to be almost certainly a real product that we're going to see in September. How do you guys think, briefly, how do you guys think that he has, you know, done when it comes to keeping Apple products secret? Alex, let's start with you.
I've heard this before, you know, in the past couple months, people saying the same thing about, they're not doubling down on secrecy. They got these parts everywhere.
See, I knew it. You do it.
Okay. Yeah. I think there's multiple things to consider. I think what can Apple do to double down on secrecy, right? So they can lock down Cupertino, which they already do pretty well, but lock it down to where, say, a genius doesn't lose a phone in a bar. Okay, so they haven't done that yet since the iPhone 4, so they're doubling down.
That we know of.
Well, that we know of. Yeah. So for all intents and purposes, they haven't. So in the U.S., it seems like everything's controlled, right? But mm-hmm. the problem is that to develop these products, you've got a vast supply chain. And not only do you have a vast supply chain, but you have a vast supply chain that is continents away. And so how do you manage this? That's where all these part leaks come from. You know, we wouldn't be seeing these parts if it weren't for the fact that these products are made in China thousands and thousands of miles away. And it's hard because you've got part suppliers that are friends with distributors who have contacts in these supply chain factories who get parts under the table, and then these repair shops from, you know, who knows where will send some pictures to a blog, and then all of a sudden everyone knows what the iPhone 5 backplate looks like. How can Apple, you know, really? I don't see how, short of, you know, some crazy security cartel, how they could double down any more than they are. I mean, these part leaks are not abnormal. Like, there's been part leaks like this for every. The only time you don't see a lot of part leaks from Apple is for a totally new product, which makes sense for this iPad mini, right?
Right. We haven't seen any parts about it.
Exactly. I was going to say, how do you know it's a lock when there's been none of these product leaks? But you're right.
Right. Exactly. So, like, for the original iPhone, hardly to no product leaks for the original iPad. Hardly, if I think there was a major thing like the day before the announcement, but there was no major parts leaks leading up to the iPad. It was a huge surprise. So Apple does that very well. So they obviously have put some type of extra security over what's going on with their unreleased products. Whereas an iPhone update, everyone knows that the iPhone 5 is coming. Like, why wouldn't you want to build hype for the iPhone 5 by generating discussion? You know, they have us talking about it. You know, they have so many fans talking about the iPhone 5, and people are asking me on it, you know, when's the iPhone 5 coming out? What does it look like? You know, I saw this online. So this is great for Apple. You know, they can do this for products that people know are coming. So we all expect an iPhone, but the iPad mini, now we haven't seen anything. So this is, you know, this is their extra kind of veil, I think. So I think there's multi layers to it.
Hmm. Yeah, and of course they're doing these things on a huge, huge scale now. You know, like right. It's a massive industry in China that's involved in making these things, you know, from all the parts suppliers up. And, you know, Foxconn's just doing the assembly. They're just putting the stuff together. There's dozens, hundreds of factories all the way down the line that's actually making all these components in the first place. And so, yeah, you know, it's a massive operation to try to keep all that shut down with all the different, all the different people, all the different factories, all the different companies that are involved. I mean, it's almost impossible. And it is impossible, as you can see, because we get to see a lot of the parts. I mean, almost everything has been revealed about the new iPhone. But like Alex says, I don't think it hurts them at all. It's still going to be a surprise when he comes and shows it off.
They always manage to surprise anyway, right? So like even with, I mean, except for probably the iPhone 4, but because somebody literally had that thing in their hands, but they always manage to, even if we like, you know, there's always little things, like even with the iPad 2 and all that stuff that we didn't know were coming that were announced announcement days. So they always do throw in some surprises anyway. And you never know with the software stuff either. I mean, what could happen there?
Right, definitely.
All right. There you have it. Let's move on. I want to do a quick game of yay or nay. We haven't played this in a while, but we've got enough rumors here to actually do one. So let's talk about some product rumors that have been floating around. Let's start with iMacs, because this is something that I've had a lot of listeners ask about. They want to know if they're getting a Retina display iMac anytime soon. And now, great name, Apple Bitch. is reporting that retailers like J&R, Best Buy are seeing shortages of the 27-inch iMac ahead of the September Apple event. And a lot of people are kind of raising an eyebrow and saying, hey, we saw those Geekbench scores of a new iMac a little while ago. Are we going to be seeing a new iMac at this September 12th event? Or are we going to be seeing a Retina display iMac at this September 12th event? Leander, yay or nay? Are we going to be seeing a new iMac in September?
Nay, nay, nay.
Alex?
Nay.
I'm a nay on this too. It doesn't make any sense. Why would Apple have an iPhone 5 event and say, oh, by the way, here is a new iMac too.
Watch them do it. Watch them do it.
Hey, I would be totally shocked. As shocked as everybody else. But even more so to the point, I mean, the fact that people are expecting a Retina display iMac, I just don't think we're going to see a 27-inch Retina display anytime soon. Can you guys imagine how expensive that thing would be?
I say between Q2 and Q3 of next year.
You think that's when we're going to see it?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So let's talk about iPad minis, the elusive device that we've been talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we've never seen a prototype, and yet everyone from Bloomberg to the Wall Street Journal are reporting that it's going to be announced next month. At the September 12th event, Apple has been prepping resellers for a to prepare for more space for iPads. They won't say what the iPad is going to be. This is coming from Mac Rumors. They're reporting. Do you guys think we're going to see a iPad mini next month, Leander?
Oh, don't put him on. I hate to go on the record. Yay.
Alex.
C1. Wait, did Leander just change?
No. Yeah. No, you did. Did you, Leander?
Nay, yeah. Nay, nay,
no,
nay.
You're going, nay. Leander, the words are so similar. It's hard to say. Leander. Alex, what do you think?
See an iPad mini? Yes.
Yay. Oh, but you don't think we'll be able to order it?
I'm not confident on... from what it looks like immediate iPhone 5 availability, and then probably, which is normal for a new iOS device, a totally new iOS device, totally normal to have a really staggered release after the announcement. So possibly, I don't know, October release for mini, but I'm not sure. I think we'll definitely see it.
Okay, I'm a yay on this too, Leander. Sorry.
Oh, okay, two
you know,
to one.
I just we've heard so many rumors and from reputable sources now that.
Well, I mean, it gets into the echo chamber to the point where it's like, if this doesn't happen, then it's going to be the biggest like, I gotcha Apple has ever played on the media ever.
That's true. But you know, honestly, I really hope to see one too. I would love to see a smaller iPad. I actually am genuinely excited about it. So. We'll see. The time will soon tell. This is going to be an easy one. Are we going to see a iPhone 5 on September 12th with a 5-inch screen? I know it seems silly, but some people still don't believe it. Verizon is blacking out dates from the 21st to the 30th, which is leading everyone to believe that that's when we're going to see the iPhone ship. Guys, iPhone 5, 4-inch screen, September 12th. Yay.
I
don't think Leander's even going to dignify this with an answer.
I know. You said 5-inch screen. It's going to be a 4-inch screen.
Oh, I'm sorry. 4-inch screen. Yeah. It's not going to be it's not going to
be,
Apple,
called the iPhone 5 either.
The iPhone 5 lit. It's just going to be called the iPhone, right? I mean, that's what they're going to call
it. Or just iPhone. Apple doesn't even use these. So just iPhone.
You know what I hate is when people say made for iPhone or made for iPad. I always want to say iPad.
That's Apple doesn't want you to do that.
That's so dumb.
If you watch any interview with any Apple executive, they will never say that about a product. They will never call it that.
They're so trained, aren't they? Man. Okay, well, that's it for yay or nay. Let's wrap up on a relevant discussion on how to get rid of your iPhone 4, iPhone 4S. I'm curious to hear what you guys do. I think I already know what Leander's going to say. Leander, I feel like I say that a lot about you. I just know what your answer is going to be. But the iPhone 5 is not what they're going to call it, but it's going to be coming out next month, obviously. What's the best way to get rid of your current hardware? I have an iPhone 4S. So I know that a lot of people who are lazy just want to get rid of it, get some money for it. They can trade it in at like Radio Shack. A lot of people choose Gazelle because Gazelle's been doing that crazy offer where they're giving you top dollar for your iPhones. I think it's $260 for a 16-gigabyte iPhone 4S, and then three and some change for a 32-gigabyte iPhone 4S. And the nice thing is that you don't actually have to send it in until October 1st. So you can use your phone until the iPhone 5 comes out and then send your phone into Gazelle for your money. Alex, what are you going to do? Yelled what at me? Was that you, Leander?
Yeah, sorry. I was just going to ask you a question, but go ahead, Alex.
Okay, Alex, what are you going to do?
I was just going to say real quick that I did the Gazelle thing. I just get my quote because if you get your quote, then you have it for 30 days.
Yep.
So like I have a 32 whatever gigabyte iPhone 4S, and so I got like $300 something quote from Gazelle, which is like, you know, guaranteed money.
Yeah.
And I don't have to actually send it in. I have 30 days. So what I would recommend people do if you're comfortable with eBay is get a Gazelle quote right now before the prices go down and then try and sell it on eBay, preferably unlocked, and you can make a considerable amount more of money, but you just have to deal with, you know, people. Are you actually selling to someone who's legit? You know, all that kind of thing. But if you can do that, then do that because you'll make more money.
You know, I like eBay. eBay is a great tool, but they take so much money now. Don't they take like 10%, yeah, including PayPal?
Do they?
Oh my gosh. I mean, they just changed all their prices. Well, actually, I shouldn't say they just. About a year ago, they changed all their prices to simplify them. And they take a lot for electronics. And of course, you have to include the PayPal fees, right? So I think all in all, you're paying about 10%. After all said and done.
And I don't even want to deal with the hassle personally. Like, that's my time for me is more valuable. So the fact that I can just put it, I can put my phone in a box and just mail it to Gazelle and know that I'll get a check back because, you know, I trust those guys. You know, it's,
right,
it's a lot of peace of mind, you know, than you making an extra $100.
I don't generally sell my stuff through means like that. I mean, I try to sell it myself first before I would try to Gazelle it. I always use Craigslist. If you're in the U.S., Craigslist is the way to go, man. I mean, you can sell. I was checking out prices for my 32-gigabyte iPhone 4S. Not unlocked. It's white. And on eBay, it was going for about $450, $460. And on Craigslist, I could probably get $400 for it because you can usually – actually, I might even be able to get $450. Craigslist is usually pretty close to eBay prices.
I'm skeptical. Is anyone really going to buy an iPhone 4 for, you know, $400 or $500 now?
I don't know about an iPhone 4. Those are going to be 4S, worth less.
4S.
That's their prices now. Yeah.
Has anyone actually tried selling one? I'd be interested.
I've sold all the iPhones I've ever owned. I've sold on Craigslist.
Just before the new one came out.
Usually after the new one comes out. Yeah.
And so people are happy to, you know, they don't want to be.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Absolutely. Because you got to think. I mean, people are like, oh, but they're so cheap. I'm like, yeah. If you qualify for a full subsidy, they're cheap. If not, iPhones are expensive. I mean, really expensive. And a lot of these people, especially for previous iPhones, because they weren't available in other countries right away, would buy them from you and then sell them in another country.
That was definitely true. I mean, I sold a couple of the original iPhones to this Russian guy that was taking them out to Russia. But it's international now, so does that market still exist?
Oh, it does. It does in that's why eBay resale value is so high, because India, areas like that where, you know, they're high priced, you know, it's still, you're saving a lot of money to buy US.
And even though Apple's releasing these iPhones in other countries much faster than they were, I mean, the US gets them first. I mean, we, you know, get a ton of them and they're available like crazy here. And in other countries, they may not even be getting them for 1-2 weeks.
One or 2 weeks.
Hey,
for
those rich Russians, that's
But that's a different. You know, you're talking about something completely different there, though, aren't you? I mean, like selling. That's, you know, selling the new one to people who can't bear to wait a couple of weeks. But you know.
Oh, I see what your point is. Yeah, there's definitely a market for the old ones too. I mean, people don't mind having the slightly older technology, especially.
Obviously, Apple still bundles the 3GS in with a 2-year contract for free. So
yeah, Leander, what are you gonna do?
Well, mine is already accounted for. My wife.
I knew it.
We have a trickle down system at the Caney
family, right?
Yeah, and in fact, it's going to, you know, it gets bumped. You see, so everyone gets a new phone.
The king. One and then the queen and on down.
Down to the princes and princesses, down the line. And in fact, oh my god, they're destroying them faster than we can keep up. Though my daughter just destroyed her iPhone yesterday. Her old, my old three or 3GS. I can't remember which one it was. So actually, we have there's a big hole in the trickle down chain to be filled.
Well, there you go. There you have it. So if you're trying to get rid of your 4S, I mean, the easiest way is going to be to Gazelle it, obviously. You'll get quick money. You don't have to send it in right away. You'll be able to get your hands on your new phone, you know, before you have to actually send them your old phone. So that's the easy way. If you want to make the most money, I would honestly, if you're in the US anyway, go with Craigslist. Craigslist has a huge vibrant market for this stuff. You get cash, so you don't have to worry about someone scamming you.
Yeah, but you could also get mugged, so be careful.
Well, obviously meet in a public place. I always meet at like a Starbucks or something. And if the guy approaches you with a large machete, run, you know, use your common sense. And that's going to be the best way to get the most money for your iPhone. And even though you already have your iPhone 5, once you sell it that way, you know, like you're still going to probably make more money than using a service like Gazelle, because they have to build in their profit margins, of course. So there you have it, guys. That's how to do it. That is all the time we have for today. Hey, you know, the conversation continues on Twitter, at least it does for me and Alex, because we actually tweet. L. Caney is his name if you want to follow him on Twitter, but don't expect very many tweets. Maybe if people at reply you, Leander, do you actually reply?
Sometimes, depends.
There you go. Well, Alex and I will. Alex is Alex E. Heath. I'm Airfon, and of course, for all the
Leander.
Leander's how to's. What?
Leander's last tweet was 42 days ago.
What did it say? Was it like, hello world?
I don't remember. I'll have to look.
For all the best news, reviews, and how-tos, definitely follow Cult of Mac on Twitter. That's just Cult of Mac. And hey, don't forget to leave your comments for the Discade 5 license on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. The CultCast is the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of The CultCast come out every Thursday night. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next time.
Let's see, Leander Kahaney's Twitter, last tweet from 72 days ago, got some wine drinking to do.
Really? That sounds about right.
Another tweet from 72 days ago, who is more hopeless, England or Ukraine?
Oh, right. Okay, that was
after the wine drinking?
That was the European Cup, yeah.
Leander, you have so many people that want to tweet with you. You should get back.
I know. I got to get into it. I'm not a natural sharer, though.
Yeah.
You got to get Tweetbot for Mac.
Well, they just start sending out random shit. That's so funny. Oh my god, you won't believe what just happened to me. Can I sort of program it to like make it sound like I'm doing interesting, fun things?
I'm sure you probably could. There's got to be a website that does that.
Actually, that's a great idea. I should come up with a service, right?
Yeah, there you go. Because I'm sure people would pay for that. Hey, you know what you should do, Leander? Is just have your kids take over your Twitter account. You have a whole army of Twitterers right there. I mean, my gosh.
That's actually not a bad idea. I could outsource it, couldn't I, to the
kids?
Yeah,
outsource it to your kids, and they'll actually tweet interesting stuff about things that youths care about.
Yeah, and they're actually pretty good with the acronyms and the biatches and
yeah.
The slang like that. The trouble is they're a bit unpredictable. I can trust them.
Well, that's perfect.
They could be like, loving this Call Me Maybe song. Got it on repeat.
Yeah, right, exactly. In fact, yeah, that's exactly what they would do. They'll do everything to humiliate me.
Well, yeah, but that would just make you look cool. And maybe. Then you'll get more Twitter followers.
All right, well, that's a good idea. I'll experiment over the weekend. Thanks for the tip.